The sermon for today comes from the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, 11 to 25. And this is a story of how Joseph received a message from God in a dream, asking Joseph not to leave Mary. On other occasions, we have mentioned that the Gospels are more than stories, or the adventures of a man named Jesus. No, the Gospels are subversive material about God, the empire, and poor people, written in a time of repression and conquest. The Christianity of Jesus was born in resistance, in the search for justice and equality. The writers of the Gospels wanted to communicate that truth very well. Jesus was born with all the potential to be the son of scandal. I have no idea how Joseph arranged his life after Mary's pregnancy, nor how Mary coped with criticism, nor how Jesus understood that explanation about his birth and childhood. The birth and the life of Jesus were a scandal. His message and way of understanding the faith, so they were. To follow Jesus is to be willing to be part of his scandals. The Christianity of Jesus scandals some people, scandals those who have privilege and power, those who don't conceive of a God born in poverty, a God being surrounded by another group of poor people to challenge their moment. The Christian church comes and was born and has lived in the midst of its own scandal. In fact, the Apostle Paul refers to Jesus' crucifixion as a scandal, but finds hope in saying that God's power is made perfect in weakness. The writer of Matthew also, in these few verses, tells us at least four scandalous situations. The writer calls Jesus the Messiah. Mary becomes pregnant while single. Jesus means Savior and declares that God is on the side of the oppressed and marginalized. If this material, written at this time and under those circumstances, is not subversive, then what is it? If it is not an act of rebellion and resistance against the power of the empire and the religious elite, then what is it? Some letters and pronouncements in favor of the poor and less privileged bothers those who have the power. God with us means that God is on the side of the victims of the scandal. God in Mary, God in Joseph, God in the poor shepherds, God in those who have been defamed and ashamed. When a group of outcasts stand up saying that God is also with them, those who have the power and privilege seek to impose their idea of God on them. For some reason, God chooses to be born in the fields of the shepherds and not in Herod's palace. Angels descend and celebrate the arrival of a God who lives in simplicity and is on the side of the poor and the oppressed. God with us means that God is on the side of the poor and the oppressed, not on the side of Rome and its emperor. That is heavy. It is not the same to say God with us from the paddock of Bethlehem that to say it from the mansion of the high priest of Herod's palace. Those who suffer of the emperor syndrome, who have some power, and a dose of narcissism, have a problem with God and those who God defends. The problem is simple. They think they are God. And anyone who supports another God other than them then they are considered disloyal and traitors. If our Christianity was born in a manger of Bethlehem, it is there where the star lead us to be. But if our faith constantly lead us to worship Herod and his power, then we have lost our way, or we have become pawns of those who govern us. Matthew's Christianity always takes us back to the manger. Matthew's understanding of this event has nothing to do with our Christmas. If there was a vague idea of Christmas for the writer, that has to do with all the poor who were born at a disadvantage and less privileged moment. If you're looking Christianity through the lenses of capitalism, and you follow white American Christianity, your eyes and faith will be on gifts. And if you are a Christian who understands the message, your eyes and faith will be on the child, on the manger, the animals, and the people who surround him. So to say God with us is not only a sign of faith, but also a direct challenge for those who have privilege and power. In God we trust, or God with us, are phrases loaded with some kind of unique populism and political propaganda. It is nothing new for politics and religion to find a common language, but theological malpractice may end up worshiping Herod and despising the poor and their manger. God with us means that God has shown us in the form of a human, like any of us, to show us a more advanced human being in Jesus. How can the phrase God with us, or in God we trust, could benefit the less privileged today? The phrase God with us has practical implications. Note that the phrase is not God with me only. No, the phrase is God with us. God appears in the voice of the community, in diversity, in the union of the different voices. The birth of Jesus was scandalous, and his death was also scandalous. If we are waiting for a light of Christianity without confrontations or challenging situations, then our expectations have nothing to do with the life of Christ. Jesus' manger and tomb remained empty. No child should be born in a manger or be in a cage in the face of people's indifference. No human being should also be crucified for thinking differently and for resisting the tyranny of the empire. God with Mary. God with Joseph. God with the pastors. God with Jesus. God with the animals. God with the angels. God with us. Amen.